Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast is not a call-in show as we feature an in-depth Bible study each week. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is the first day of August 2019. And the scripture reading for this week is Numbers chapter 33, verses 1 through chapter 36, verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 28, and also chapter 3, verse 4. The New Testament portion is John chapter 2, starting at verse 1 through chapter 3, verse 36, and James chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Be sure to read all the pertinent articles by The Watchman. They are in-depth and they have a great message to them. Be sure to read them and pass them along to your friends. This week we feature Christ Jesus of the Faith You Follow. Christ Jesus, it is not the religion, the denomination, the current trend, or any other man-made thing or theology. The brass tack of the situation, the hard-nosed fact of who we are, it's not the faith, but the Christ of the faith whom we are to follow. We don't follow faith, we are to have faith. Also, national sins, sighing and crying. National sins are evident. Does anyone really care? Is anyone in the church in Hollywood, in Washington, concerned about the prevalent rebellion going on in America? Here we discuss the mark of Christ. We look at the sighing and crying for the sins of a nation. Yes, grieving and seeking God over the national sins of the nation called America. So you can read those articles by going to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Be sure to read them and pass them along to your friends. You can also listen to all the shows from warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. We are on Blog Talk. You can find us on Blueberry, Stitcher, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and many other avenues. And tonight on Battle Lines, the in-depth study is House of Jacob, Isaiah's prophetic book, part 12. House of Jacob, the nations of men have trouble believing that God is in control. We look at a prominent portion of Isaiah and a famous section referencing a miraculous deliverance in Judah. Here we have the antagonist and the protagonist. We also have those who are in the middle of the judgment of God. Herein we find truth, judgment, righteousness, and a God who is governor of the nations. And here is a word.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. I'm looking forward to the study tonight.
Well, we're continuing in Isaiah. It's an amazing book. We got a long ways to go, but we're not worried about how long we have to go. We're pretty much going to be in this book until we get to the very end. We're doing it chapter by chapter. And so we haven't even done a quarter of a year yet. So at any rate,
long...
well, it'll take quite a while, but at any rate, we are in August. Happy August.
Yes. That's amazing.
I know. You know, I'm always amazed. I just absolutely cannot believe, you know, how fast these things go. Just all there is to it. So at any rate, we got Friday tomorrow and then another weekend. It just, you know, of course, the political situation, that's another thing. But at any rate, there's a lot of things going on, but we're going to be looking to the Lord and doing the study. So I think we're going to go ahead and get going on this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
We are in House of Jacob, Isaiah's prophetic book, part 12. It's interesting, you know, both houses, of course, Israel was divided after Solomon because of him falling away, and both houses, the northern tribes, affectionately known as the Lost Tribes of Israel, which are actually being found now, by the way. And Judah. And they both went into captivity. And, you know, when we talk about the greater son of David, the coming of Yahshua, and all of the prophecies and what the Lord was going to do to bring us the new covenant, it flowed through David, through Judah. And so it's interesting that Judah itself is going to be going into judgment. Now, they're going through judgment now, but they're coming to the time when they will literally go into captivity. And so at any rate, you think about it, that going into captivity, that kind of puts the kibosh on all the promises, but it doesn't. In fact, in spite of the judgment, God brought a remnant back, and, you know, God continued with his program. And so that is an important thing to understand, that while many people talk about the judgment of God, and there are those who see God as nothing more than this jealous God who's angry. But the bottom line of it is, everything that he does, including sending Isaiah and other prophets, is to warn the people, to get them to repent so they can live in his blessing. And it's the same way today, because, you know, the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Paul spends time talking about God dealing with us as a father. So it's important to take notice that even as Christians today, if we fall away, if we have problems, we're not where we need to be, God uses things, outside influences, to come in and draw us to himself. In Isaiah 10:1, it says, "Woe unto them," that word them is referring to the judges,
Now, this isn't an affectionate judge. The judge is judging the judges. You could say that. Whoa. And, you know, when someone says whoa unto you, they're not telling you whoa like stop a horse. They're telling you it's bad. You better duck now. You better repent. So woe unto them, meaning the judges, that decree unrighteous decrees. Of course, it's simple. They're decreeing unrighteous decrees. So what does that mean? Well, that's why God is judging them, because they're the opposite of righteousness. And that right grievousness, which, in other words, that which they are decreeing, ends up with oppression of the very people who should be getting justice. So unjust oppression of the people. Now, of course, the ones with money and power and influence don't have a problem. The problem is the widow and the orphan and others who don't have the money. You know, it's just like today, and it's been this way for a long time. If you're rich, you can afford the best defense. And most of the time that means that, you know, it seems like even the rich guilty get off because they've got all this money and power. But in the case of Isaiah speaking to the children of Israel, they were specifically, these judges were doing things that were unjust. And it says, which they have prescribed, they have written. So they made these unrighteous decrees, these judgments, and it resulted in the people who were before them to have to be oppressed because they were wrong. The judge came to the wrong conclusion. He writes it. And so this is the problem. I mean, in other words, of course, you can go back to the time of the judges. And I mean, even when you get right down to it, Samuel, his own sons, you know, weren't good enough to, you know, they were immoral. And so when Samuel tried to leave the affairs of the prophet that he had and everything to his sons, it didn't work. And that's when the people wanted a king. So you know, the fact that Israel, dealing with Judah, has unjust judges is not necessarily rocket science here. They have had a problem with that. They have had a problem with a lot of things when it comes to righteousness. Now, in verse 2, it says, to turn aside the needy. Now, it, you know, if you look around America or any other country, you know, don't be surprised if you see judges that seem to decree unrighteous decrees. They make judgments and it winds up to be for the worse for the person that they're judging. And we have seen this in various countries, even dealing with Christians, because there's nothing fair about some of this stuff at all. And it's meant to be that way, just like over in China when they're dealing with house churches. They let them go for years and years, and then they crack down. And so now it's pretty bad for them over there. And when they go before a judge, they're guilty. It's just, you know, there's no, why am I going before a judge? I mean, you know, you're going to find me guilty anyway. Yeah, that's the way it works. Even the lawyers who are trying to stand up for equal rights over there, they turned around and got thrown in prison too. So this is really, if you look around, not just China, but you can look around in the U.S., you can look around in the EU, you can look all over, and unjust judges are around. And here, specifically, to turn aside the needy, that is those who, of course, didn't have money, power, and rank. They were, you know, they were on the lower spectrum, the word for that is humble, humility. You don't have a lot of money. You don't have a big house. You don't have influence. You just no powerful friends, nobody to defend you. So when you stand before this judge, there's nobody to say, wait a minute, judge. There's nobody to take him aside. Now, of course, if you're rich, it's another story. If you have influence, it's another story. But the humble and the needy in this point in Judah didn't have that luxury. And to turn aside the needy from judgment and to take away. Now, this is exactly what Ahaz and Jezebel did with the vineyard that she managed to get everybody to help her give it to Ahaz. Of course, the guy that owned the thing didn't want to sell it, but didn't matter. He wound up in a bad state because of them plotting. And so this kind of thing, you know, is, you know, I mean, we are talking about Judah here, where we were looking at the promises of Yahshua, Jesus Christ, to flow through. He's of David. And you look at Israel. Now, not everybody in Israel was wicked, but when you begin to find the judges being wicked, that's getting pretty bad. But like I said, that happened before. And so when the judge then makes a decision, it becomes law, so then they can take by violence and oppression. That's really what that means when it says from judgment and to take away. It's a phrase that you would apply to robbery, oppression, or taking the spoils in battle. So when the judge declares it, the humble who can't do anything, whatever it is he's decided, then the authorities come and take it away legally. And it's robbery. And this is the problem. Now, we've had this problem in America as well, in various different circumstances. But when the law says it, that's it. Well, see, God is calling them out on this. And it goes on to say, to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. Now, this is really egregious. You know, this is just like, why would you rob the widows and the fatherless? And there was no one to stand up for them because there were widows and fatherless. And it could be that the widow became a widow and everything that her husband left because he had died actually went to the state. The same way with the fatherless. Mom and dad die, they leave something like a house or land. And the house and the government comes along and says, well, we need that. Well, it's my dad's. I have a right to it because, you know, he left it to me. Well, no, you don't. You know, we had it in court. And right now the decision came down that you lost everything. And so we have this problem even in today's society. And people look themselves in the mirror and countries look themselves in the mirror and they say, well, that's our law. Well, it may be your law, but it's unjust. You know, it's just like in China, in the house churches and the other churches. They can give the ones, the churches that belong to the Chinese government the right, but they don't want these other people to have a right to do anything because they're afraid of them. They're afraid that the Christians will take over. They're afraid of everything over there, so they don't. They oppress them, and they say, it's okay, that's our law. That does not make it right. Now, one day, God is going to come, and the just one, Yahshua, is going to come and be judge. And God has given everything into his hand, and he's going to judge everything. He is Lord of Lords, and in Revelation, he calls himself the Almighty. When he comes, you're going to find that out. And so Isaiah here is putting the tunes to the instrument here when he's talking about judgment on 10 strings. I mean, he's telling him, this is what you're doing, and it's coming right down through your legal system. It's happening in your judges, and then your policemen go and take it away, and you're taking it away from widows and fatherless. And so there was no chance to make a redress, you know, to hold up your hand and say, wait a minute, I want to appeal. No, you can't appeal. There's no appeal. But thank God, you know, in America, we do have an appeal process. And I can tell you, even today, the American Center for Law and Justice and Judicial Watch both spend a lot of time in the legal courtrooms fighting what the liberals and others are trying to do to our country. And you have the deep state up there, too. And that is a proper term because they're finding more and more things along with it. And even the Comey thing was a problem. And all of this stuff, the liberals refuse to even look at. And the liberals spend all their time hating everybody else. But see, this is how an unjust society can stay unjust and that they can abuse the laws. And that's why you need to uphold the laws. That's why we need strong people in America to uphold the truth of the laws and stop any left-wingers trying to take this into a socialist dictatorship. And of course, here we look at Israel in Judah, and you know, they're taking this stuff from the highest courts. The judge is taking it away from widows. Of course, the judge is just making a decision here, but there's really more to it than that. But see, the if you think these judges are decreeing this stuff just because, you're wrong. They're decreeing it because there's some money, power, and influence. You can always, like they say today, follow the money. The money will lead you. If you think wickedness is going on, follow the money. Money is the root of all evil. And money can be in the forms of land, property, any number of things. And verse 3, it says, and what will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from afar? Now, you know, there's three questions in this Isaiah 10:3. I'll read this and then we'll go back to them. What will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from afar? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your glory? So the three questions: what will you do in the day of visitation when desolation comes? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? Well, you know, the problem with crossing God, and that is, and believe me, if you haven't, I have. For over 21 years, I've warned of judgment. I also preach and teach a lot of other things, but, and I can tell you unequivocally, from Genesis to Revelation, there's a just God up there. And he will hold man accountable. You know, he could have looked the other way when Adam and Eve fell. He could have said, well, you know, I know you didn't mean to disobey me. I'll forgive you this, but I'm not going to let it go. See, I know with our kids, we used to tell them, and you know, the problem with kids, and we always have this thing, God put ears on your head, but that's not to hear God. God doesn't go through your ears. Sometimes you can hear it in an audible voice, but most of the time you'll start with your heart because that's what matters. And the bottom line of it is that when you tell your kids, how many times do they really listen the first time? Very few. And that's the problem. See, even when you're preaching or teaching, even in the Word of God, people don't listen. And so this is why the Holy Spirit is here to help convict. So what do you do in the day of visitation and desolation, which shall come from far? In regards to Israel, or the distant nation, Asher, would be God's instrument. And so it shouldn't be hard to figure that Judah finally did, you know, after the warnings of Jeremiah, Babylon came and finished the job. But you see, there's a big question here. What we do in the day of visitation and desolation? See, a lot of us don't believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. The Jews didn't believe it. They didn't believe that they would totally lose the temple. They lost the temple, their priests, the whole nine yards. They lost their standing. They lost their land. They lost Jerusalem. And there was many of them that went into captivity. And the whole thing lasted for 70 years, which we could call that a generation, 70 years. But more importantly, you can take the number 7, multiply it times 10. 10, of course, is a number of fullness. 7 is what I call God's perfect number. So 70 years is what it took for this judgment to work out. And also in a generation, you live 70. And that's 70. And it was Daniel, who was in captivity, that actually was looking into the book of the law and actually saw it there in the prophets and saw that it had been, that it was 70 years. And he looked at the dates and found out the 70 years had come to an end. Now, see, Judah found out. Now, see, here in this, what we're covering now, there's going to be a deliverance. And that deliverance is important. Now, the next question is, to whom are you going to flee for help? Who's going to come and rescue her? Well, if you look at Revelation 18 and Mystery Babylon, there's a lot of nations that were made rich from Mystery Babylon. And when its judgment happened, they stood afar off watching. See, there's one thing about judgment. When it's really bad, you don't go near it. You know, when the Twin Towers came down, you know, there's pictures of Trump. He brought a lot of his employees, and they were right there helping. And there's pictures of him actually working down there. But at any rate, when the Twin Towers, there were people who went up in the towers, the firemen and others, and they lost their lives in it. Now, see, when you have a visitation, that's the exact reason why many people won't go, because you have a chance of losing your life. Why do I want to go when God is visiting, when there's destruction and problems there? I'll lose my life. Well, see, the people in the Twin Towers, of course, they just went up anyway, and then it fell. So the bottom line of it is, when we talk about judgment, it's very real. When we talk about that there are effects. You know, it's like when God does have a visitation of judgment, it's nothing you want. It's nothing to look forward to. It's nothing to want. It's nothing to hope for. And I can tell you, as a Christian, I do not hope for judgment. I warn, because that's what I've been called to do. But the bottom line of it is that judgment is not fun. I do not wish judgment on my enemies. But I do want God to stop the wickedness. One day he'll do that. And I pray that people will repent. But the bottom line of it is, here is this Isaiah is telling them the brass tack, you know, the bottom line here. What are you going to do when God judges you and the desolation destroys everything here? Who are you going to go for help? Is anybody going to stop him? No. The answer is no. And what are you going to do with all the wealth and everything that you have there? Are you going to get your money out of the bank accounts quick? Can you call up your accountant? Can you call up your Wall Street broker? Can you get your money out? Can you sell real quick? Can you put it in a foreign bank account? What are you going to do about it? And the problem of it is, when this happens, no. Do you think God's going to call America or all the modern nations up and say, well, see, I'm going to judge you the 12th of June, 2021. and I'm going to destroy everything there. But I'm not going to destroy this nation. So if you want to put your money, transfer your money and work out of that, then you're going to be okay. You think God does it that way? No, he doesn't. He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to judge everybody's house except for yours sitting there. No, when it comes, it comes. And we can even see that with Ezekiel, who was sitting by the river Chebar during judgment. This is a hard thing to understand in our modern lingo. It's a hard thing. And see, God was dealing with these people because they had actually fallen away. You know, I mean, it's hard to believe when we talk about falling away. So in Isaiah 10:4, it says, without me, they shall bow under the prisoners. They shall fall under the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. So without me. Well, see, they forsook the Lord their God a long time ago. And they had other gods. They were doing other things. But to see, the thing of it is, Hezekiah was on the throne. And that's a good thing. Because it was during this time. And all of this has a reference in 2 Kings 18. You can find what happened. But you see, the truth of the matter is that you had kings that forsook God and totally followed evil, like Ahaz and Jezebel, like Manasseh. And then you had others that were pretty good kings. They may not have been able to take down all the high places, get rid of it all, but they attempted. But see, they had been forsaking God. Instead of being stalwart, like in the time of Joshua and Caleb, when they were in the land, it wasn't the same Israel. Or under David. And under Solomon, he was pretty stalwart. For the scripture says, his wives turned his heart away from the Lord. So without me, Isaiah says, forsaken of God for their rebellion. He's not going to put up with it. It's just like as a Christian, you know, we get this idea, once saved, always saved, we can do anything we want to. But see, there's a relationship that you need to keep with God through Christ. And that's described in 1 John chapter 1 when it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You have to walk in his light as he is in the light. Do what he does. Because if you get in the deeds of darkness, the deeds of the flesh, you do those all the time, you're going to run into trouble. You're not having fellowship with him because he doesn't fellowship with those things. And so, O Christian, know this, that judgment will first begin at the house of God. Then if we, who are believers, scarcely survive, where will the sinners and the ungodly stand? Well, I can tell you it ain't going to be very good. And so, you know, it's high time that the church in America, all of them, every denomination, every pastor, every whatever, if they call themselves a Christian, they need to seriously examine themselves and examine their church. And they need to pray for revival. They need to seek the Lord. It's just like James says, you know, in the fifth chapter, you know, there's many people who have stored away riches and wealth for the last days. They're not going to save you. But he says, they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. And so this is when you're in the long line, and you're in fetters or stocks, being led in some cases, they would take hooks and put it in their noses and lead them. And they did that. And of course, their hands are in stocks. I mean, you have no choice but to follow. And so you can't bear the hardship and you fall down at the feet of others. Now, that's not a pretty picture. And they shall fall under the slain. Well, you look at the others, the ones who may not have fallen at the feet of other prisoners. The others were slain. They fell as corpses, only to be covered by other corpses. When you're talking about a slaughter, when you're talking about this kind of a thing, that's what you're going to have. Now, if you've ever seen the movie The Kingdom of God, and that comes out of, the Crusaders fighting Islam, and it shows you the battle over Jerusalem. And they show you the blood and the corpses as they lay there on top of one another. That's what this is talking about. For all this, it says, his anger is not turned away. Now, this is hard to take. Even with this judgment. Now, see, remember here, Israel really does suffer during this invasion here. But in the end, Jerusalem is spared. Judah doesn't get away at all. Not at all. But here they manage to this is not a fun scenario, especially if we look at America today. I mean, it's hard to imagine America judged. I mean, we've got so many blessings. We've lived in freedom, but more and more our cities are becoming a mess and chaotic. People are getting killed and murdered. More and more we have people crying for socialism and getting rid of what we're used to. And so, just like Rome, Rome actually fell from within. In their heyday, nobody could beat the Roman legions. And they did have a Senate. They made laws. And of course, they did have slavery. And Paul, matter of fact, this comes up in Acts. He says, I was freeborn. Paul was freeborn. But the guy he was talking to, who happened to have put him in jail, had to buy his way out. But this, eventually, though, Rome couldn't protect even Rome. They couldn't protect their citizens. Their borders were open. Hordes would come in. The kingdom split into east and west, and then the whole thing fell. Of course, Constantinople fell to the Muslims. One of the biggest Christian churches that was made at the time, the center of Christianity over there, fell, and it actually was made into a mosque over there. And so these are... when we're talking about this kind of judgment, when we're talking about this stuff, it is nothing to take lightly. And this is where a healthy fear of the Lord comes in at. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in verse 5, it says, O Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. Now, this is what God does. And I've taught on this before, and I talked about Habakkuk and various teachings. Habakkuk is just a great book to read, especially if you're living in a country and it's going to go through judgment. So Habakkuk, in the beginning of the book, is asking God, why does he make him see all this stuff, all this sin? The judgment had fell. There was problems. People didn't keep the law. They didn't follow in the faith. They had other gods. And he was upset about it. And he said, Lord, how long are you going to let me see this? And God said, and I'm paraphrasing, you can read it, it's in the first chapter of Habakkuk. And he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you, Habakkuk. I'm going to bring in a bitter and hasty nation who is bloodthirsty, who rapes and pillages and murders and takes the land, and then after they conquer, they give all the credit to their God. I'm going to give them the country and the land. And they're going to go through judgment, and these people are going to come through rape, kill, and pillage. Now, I'm not sure, you know, well, I am. When I look at Habakkuk and read it, Habakkuk really didn't expect that. Because he said, Lord, why would you use a country more wicked than we to judge us with? And so that begins Habakkuk's education, and then he ends up saying that I will wait on my watch and see what the Lord will say to me when I am reproved. He expected to be reproved, but he wasn't. It's an honest question. He didn't know. You know, he didn't like the answer. He wasn't supposed to like the answer. Because in that portion is the phrase that Paul quotes, the just shall live by their faith. For the wicked, their soul within them is not right. They're wicked. But the just shall live by their faith. And so you have to take it by faith. You have to trust God. Even if America was judged, even if your country, your land, whatever it is judged, you have to trust the Lord. You know, and there's one thing that we covered in the very first part of this book was God told Isaiah, he says, tell the righteous it shall be well with him, and tell the wicked it shall be ill with him. Now, you see, that's what we have to trust in judgment. Even if America's judged, we have to believe it will be well with us because we're righteous. That's what God told Israel. I mean, told Isaiah. And we've got biblical evidence of God delivering the righteous. God even told the Jews to leave Babylon before he judged it. Now, see, in today's society, in the Christian churches, we have many churches that believe that they're all going to go in a pre-trib rapture, they'll never see judgment in America. That's wrong. It would be nice. I'm all for it, but it ain't going to happen. But, hey, if they want to believe it, more power to them. They don't listen anyway. I've tried to tell them, so's Tower. I don't worry about it. I trust in the Lord God and look to him. But the Lord himself prayed in John. He said, Father, I pray thee that you would not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. That was his prayer. He said, don't take them out of the world. What's the rapture? Taking them out of the world. That's not even biblical. But there is a place when the Lord comes for us to meet him. And in my covering of Revelation and going through that, I actually go through a spot where I tell you it's a good place for one. But if we looked at it, we could look at it, well, you know, any time would be a good time. You know? And sometimes the sooner the better, because who wants to go through this? I mean, it'd be much better to be in Christ's kingdom. It would be much better to have him and the Father and the light thereof and the righteousness and eternal and wonderful and us and our new bodies. Yes, that would be nice. But the problem of it is God is a merciful God. He waits for people to get saved. And in our advocacy broadcasts on Wednesdays that we do, we talk a lot about those miracles that are going on now, Old Testament, apostolic type miracles that are happening today, where we talk about people who are enemies of God becoming Christians. We're seeing this happen. You look in America and you have kind of a lukewarmness. You have an aversion to Christianity here. You have people that, even on YouTube, you know, they don't like the keyword Christian. Well, just put in the keyword pagan, but make it a Christian movie. That's who you're attracting anyway. I learned a long, long time ago to watch out the keywords you're using. You got to write around their keywords. That's what you do. And then if you put a video, make it for private viewing only. That way, not everybody can see it. That's the way you do it. Well, at any rate, let's get back to this. So at any rate, in 2 Chronicles 32, now this is where you find the story. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsels with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help them. Now, it goes on for a lot of verses to describe all this. I wanted to put that in there to give you the reference to this. The Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came. He entered into Judah. And along the way, of course, before he got to Jerusalem, he went through towns in the countryside. And when he did, most of the time, and this is where a fear, pit, and the snare, this is another biblical trio of terms that you will hear. See, in the Old Testament, and even after the Old Testament times, even in the times of the kings and the crusades and things, when armies came, you could see them coming. Well, even in the Old West, the Indians could see the cavalry long before they got to them. And the cavalry apparently never thought about that, because of the dust. And so if you're going to ride, you should have rode at night. But at any rate, so when Sennacherib starts coming, he has to pass through other countryside before he gets to Judah. And all of that, the people would know. And so the word would go ahead of them. Runners would go ahead. People would leave just to get out of the way of this army, because they're going to take what they need to eat and everything else. And so when they get into to Judah, then, you know, many of them would flee ahead. And we will get to some of that a little later. And now, 2 Kings 19:35 through 7. 37, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went, returned, and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped in the land of Armenia. And Irshad and his son reigned in his stead. So, you know, this gives you the long and short of this thing that Isaiah is talking about. And you had in 689... Sennacherib razed it to the ground, Babylon to the ground. The fall of Samaria, the northern kingdom, occurred in 722. the fall of Jerusalem fell to Babylon in 587 and 86, which we go the other way. So 586 and 587 are actually, 586 is earlier. Persia conquered Babylon under Cyrus the Great, and the remnant of Judah returned. And it was Cyrus the Great who was the anointed one. Matter of fact, Cyrus the Great is the one that the Jews in Israel call Trump as Cyrus. And, of course, this makes the liberals hate Trump even more, even the liberal media. But they don't understand. You know, Trump very well could have been put in there because Trump stood up right away for Israel. He also declared Jerusalem, you know, where their embassy is going to be. So there's a lot of things that this guy has done. And, you know, maybe he isn't biblical, but for the Jews, they felt he was. So this is really a Jewish thing. It's, you know, I didn't make him that. He did it. You know, the Jews did it, rather. And many believe, though, that a lot of the Jews were taken into Persia. And so this is what we're dealing with in this. And this, of course, when we go all the way back through what we've talked about. Now, remember, we've talked about it last week that, you know, Judah just said that we're going to rebuild everything. We're going to put the bricks back up. We're going to plant the trees back up. And, you know, we're just going to do what we were doing before. See, what they need to be doing is repenting. But they're not repenting. Now, Hezekiah is a good king. But there are some major problems in Judah that are not going to go away. And, of course, this is really the whole crux of the thing when we look at it, is that, you know, there's things that have to be done, you know, and God is going to do it because it has to do with judgment and sin. Now it's a little while before, you know, Israel is sent into captivity. God deals with them. And there's one thing that God will do. If they were to repent, he would forgive them. There is no doubt about it. And so, you know, the important part, though, is in all of these, when we see judgment, we see mercy. God's plan to redeem. You know, it's not God's fault they fell away, but they did. But if you look at America, you know, we've got everything, a lot of us. You got a nice place, you know, and as Christians, you're not being slaughtered like they are around the world. You don't face a lot of that. And so it's easy to get comfortable. It's easy to be well fed. The enemy comes when you're not looking for him. But there's one thing the devil knows. If he can get the Christian soft, if he can let them have their money, if he can let them have their comforts, then their heart slowly over time falls away and they begin to trust in themselves. And when that begins to happen, he encourages it. He sends certain humans that are leaning to his way, their way, and to teach these kinds of things. So people enter in to teach the wrong thing. And before you know it, they've backslid. Even Israel's falling away, it came gradual. And of course, here, we're really looking at the redemptive aspect of God. And that's what we need to be looking at for us today. God's redemption. Father, we thank you for your word today. Bless your word to the hearts of those that hear it whenever they do. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name, bless your people. Help them to understand, guide their steps, and be with them. Now, next week, we'll pick this up, and we'll be in Isaiah verse chapter 10 and verse 6. And, you know, these are very important teachings. Very important word. There's a lot of things we can glean from this, a lot of things we can understand, because we haven't arrived yet. We think we have. Okay, Tower. So don't forget, you can check all these out over on warn-usa.com and danaglynsmith.com. You back?
I'm trying. Okay, I'm back.
Okay, I'm glad you're back.
I can't believe, me too. I like this show. It was, I like the detail and Second Chronicles, and Habakkuk's always one of my favorites. I can't believe the show's already over. I'm disappointed.
I know. But, you know, we have changed a few things in our broadcasts, and, you know, they're still in depth, but we're pretty much going to be going an hour in all of our shows. Yeah. Because when we're dealing with people listening and things like that, people begin to wane away. And plus that, it makes it easier to produce and doing everything we're doing on our broadcasts. And so at any rate, there's a lot of good points there. A lot of good things to think about.
Yes, there is. Yeah, well, you don't want to speed through this anyway. There's a lot of information.
Well, that's one of the reasons you don't, because I have a lot of references. We talk about the different terms. You know, we try to relate the history to it.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
You know, we can't give you everything on it. That's not my job. We teach it. And what you need to do, if you like it, you need to get into the book and you need to study it for yourself. See?
Yep. We got to get out of here. Excuse me. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. God bless you richly. Thank you for all you do. We love you. We pray for you. And we hope the best for you in Christ Jesus. God bless you. Good night, everybody.
Well, folks, remember the persecuted church, your brethren in bonds. Remember our broadcast, The Advocacy for the Persecuted Church, on Wednesdays. Tomorrow is Friday. We do Sound the Shofar, which we are covering blood guilt. And so check all these things out. Find us on the social feed. Help us to get the word out. And remember that in everything we do, we're waiting on the Lord. Shalom, everybody.
Amen.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.